Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be sharing a sermon series I've been given from the book of Malachi. Now, Malachi is a book written to people who have become disappointed, a people who need to remember who they are, a people who need to know what God has done for them. They're asking, does it really change anything belonging to God? I invite you to join us over the next few weeks as we see that it has changed everything, and it will continue to change everything. Well, let's dive in, shall we? Let's go. Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. A prophecy. The word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. Does belonging to God change anything? If you look carefully, that picture is of a boot with the word Andy written on it from Toy Story. Belonging to Andy matters in Toy Story, doesn't it? But does belonging to God change anything? I mean, September, it's rolled around once again, hasn't it? And everything has started up again. We're back here on a Sunday night. We switched on the alarm clock for the first time since the summer, or at least I have. We start to remember our regular routines again. We get used to normal life once more. Now, one of the things that I do in August is I clear out my office. My thinking is that I want to get into good habits before the new academic year kicks in. So what do? Well, I move a bit of furniture there. I throw out a few things here. You know, the stuff that I don't really need anymore. Things that make no difference to my day-to-day. I go through my calendar, I clear out the things that just aren't working, the things that I think are pointless, the things that don't change anything. Do you do similar? I guess you could call it spring cleaning, but it's in the summer. Summer clear out? Yeah, that works, doesn't it? Summer clear out. See, we regularly think through the worth of things, don't we? We make decisions on whether they're going to be good for us or not. We decide whether it's worthwhile to keep doing things. So I wonder this evening if you've ever done that with your faith. Have you ever asked the question, does belonging to God change anything? I mean, as we look at another year here in Hemel Hempstead, does us meeting like this, does it change anything? I mean, it's been 7 years now, hasn't it? Do we want to keep going for another one? Or us teaching the Bible, does that change anything? We say, what is it? We're a church, we're a community on mission with the words. I mean, it'd be far easier, wouldn't it, to share a nice thought for the day, to ignore what the Bible actually says, to be more inclusive, to be more affirming. I mean, does teaching the Bible actually change anything? It seems to go well for those people who don't. And society doesn't really care at all, does it? Or praying. Does praying change anything? Well, things seem to go fine when I don't pray. In fact, it gains me more time in the day to do what I want to do, room in the day for more other important things. Does belonging to God change anything at all? See, the people of Malachi's day, well, they had an answer. For the people of Malachi's day, the answer was no. Belonging to God does not change a thing. And that's all the more striking when you realise the people of Malachi's day, they're not the rebellious Israelites. Oh no, these are the Israelites who've come out of the exile. These are the ones who've been through the exile, come out the other side, and are now back in the land. These are the people that are called the remnant as you go through the Bible. These are the people who've worked hard for the last few years. These are the people who've taken risks. These are the people who've been restored back to the land again. But now, as they've come back into the land, has anything changed? Has it been worthwhile to belong to God? Well, their answer is no. They're disappointed. Things haven't happened. They've got in their minds these grand promises that God made, promises that we saw in Deuteronomy 30 in our growth groups. Those were the promises to make them prosperous, to make them numerous again, promises of having God right in their midst and to be known as his special people. But the people, they've come back into the land and they're now a minor player on the world scene. They've in fact lost land, and the land that they have is dominated by other people. There's no prosperity. There's not many of them. And is God in their midst? Well, it's not looking good. The people, they're disappointed, they're disenfranchised, and they're wondering, what is the point of being God's people? It'd be far easier for us to just give it all up. Can you relate this evening? Does belonging to God really matter? Does being a Christian matter? As we work our way through this short little book, we'll see that this thinking affects the people's actions. See, they act like God is there, but that he doesn't actually care. So why pray? Why do the sacrifices? Why live God's way? You see, it could be the same for us, can't it? We can go through the motions and we can have lost the love that we had at first. We look around and we think that things seem to be going better. Things seem to be going better for everyone else out there. See, this book of Malachi, it's written to a group of people who need reminding that belonging to God really matters. Belonging to God does, in fact, change everything. So we're going to see that this evening in the first 2 points. Firstly, God's choosing love already changes things. And secondly, God's coming judgment will certainly change things. Let's take a look at the first one, shall we? God's choosing love already changes things. Have a look at verses 1 to 3 with me. A prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Verse 1 strikes a very somber tone. These two words, a prophecy, are familiar if you've read through the Bible to this point. If you've read through the prophets, those words are going to make your heart sink. See, those two words, they usually start a judgment passage, a passage that's going to end in bad news unless the people pay attention to it. And the news is getting closer to home. This is the word of the Lord to Israel. There's our subject, Israel, the people of God, coming through Malachi. And Malachi's name is a name we're going to pay attention to as we go through this letter. It's a name that means my messenger. That's going to be key as we work through this book. But what do we have here? Well, we have a prophecy, perhaps of judgment, coming to Israel through God's messenger. So what is the message? Have a look at verse 2. God says, I have loved you. You see, right out of the gate, we have a statement of what God has done for the people. We have a statement about what belonging to God means. This love, God is saying, has been and it will continue to be. It's like the love of a father for a child. It is there and it will continue to be there. Yet this love is more than that. See, the love of a parent is just a small glimpse of what God's love is like. But do you see how Israel responds? Do you see how God's people respond? Verse 2. But they ask, how have you loved us? See, these people, they're disappointed. They know that God is there, but they don't believe it changes anything. They don't see it as worthwhile to belong to God. And so God explains to them that his choosing love already changes things. He says to them, have a look over the border. He turns to the history of Esau and Jacob. Now, we didn't get a chance to see this in our Pentateuch studies, but here's the headline. The brothers Esau and Jacob were twins. And the thing about twins is they're conceived at the same time. And they're born at the same time. Not literally the same time, there's a few minutes difference. And it's really important, isn't it, Izzy? How many minutes difference, right? Yeah, exactly. But you see, they're basically conceived and born at the same time. And before either one had done anything good or bad, God chose Jacob. He chose Israel. Or as this passage says, God loved Jacob. God set his choosing love onto Israel. You see, not because of anything they'd done, but simply because God chose to do it. But does that make any difference? Well, it makes all the difference. It may seem quite harsh, actually, what's said in verse 3. What does God say? God says, Esau, I have hated. Now, to put it simply, to love and to hate is a binary. If you go back to Genesis 29, Jacob is said to love Rachel, but to hate Leah. The point there is the sisters aren't equally loved. There was a choice being made. You can ask more about that later if you like. But the big point here is that Israel is loved. God has set his love on this people, and it changes everything for them. See, as the nations around are raided, Israel was taken into captivity. They were exiled. But God returned them. Esau, or Edom, well, they were trashed. They were made a wasteland. Edom had piled in with the attacks on Israel during the exile. They were opposed to God's people. And that meant that God was opposed to them. I've loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I mean, a quick run through Israel's history. It should point out that belonging to God makes a difference. From the Exodus out of Egypt, that only happened for Israel, to the forgiveness that they experienced when they messed up again and again, that only happened for Israel. I mean, the whole of the Old Testament, it shows God's choosing love, a love not dependent on their actions. It shows that God's love changes everything. Of course it makes a difference. And if it changes everything for them then, how much more does it change everything for us now? In the New Testament, Paul says that everything done for this people was done for us. How God shows his love for this people here in Malachi's day is how the Saviour of the world came into this world. But not only that, we have way more than them, don't we? We have peace with God. We have forgiveness for our sins. We have joy. We have the Holy Spirit. You just keep going on, can't you? How much stuff we have now. If you are unsure this evening that belonging to God changes anything, think again. And all of that is coming from God's choosing love. See, it's already changed things, and it will continue to change things. And the benefit of a choosing love is that it doesn't depend on us. See, if you're having a bad day or you're having a good day, God still chooses to love you. If you're feeling depressed and worn down, or if you're on top of the world, God still chooses to shower his love on you. As the old Sunday Club song goes, he loves you when you're happy, he loves you when you're sad, he loves you when you're feeling blue or when you're feeling bad. If you're unsure that belonging to God changes anything this evening, think again. And if looking at the past and looking at the present isn't enough, well, Malachi turns to the future. Second point this evening, God's coming judgment will certainly, certainly change things. Look at verses 4 and 5. Edom may say, though we've been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. See, as we go through Malachi, we're going to see there's a lot about the future. Everything is going somewhere. And if we think for a moment that the future is the same for everyone, well, we need to think again. Verse 4, Edom. They may think that their future is in their hands, but they have God against them. They think they can rebuild, but God will demolish. They will be called the wicked land. They will have that name attached to them forever. Last few words of verse 4. A people always under the wrath of the Lord. I mean, that's pretty definitive, isn't it? Now, let's not get this wrong. This isn't a form of xenophobia. That's a hatred for a particular people group. No, this is a picture of what those opposed to God will face. See, Edom, they set themselves up against God and against God's people. And so this is what they get. So rather than being targeted at a national people group, well, this actually goes a lot further. Anyone. See, anyone who sets themselves up against God will always be under the wrath of God. Yeah, those people who belong to God, well, they're going to see it differently. Verse 5, they're going to say, "Great is the Lord." See, as God is shown to be the king over the whole world, God's people are going to praise him. They're going to see the one true God for themselves. I mean, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a story of the final day. He tells a story using sheep and goats. The sheep go one way, the goats go the other. It's a strong picture, but if you struggle to think that being a Christian doesn't change anything, just imagine yourself into that moment. Just imagine yourself into the sheep on that day. Will you really think belonging to God doesn't make a difference? See, belonging to God changes everything. People of Israel need to remember that. And we need to remember the same today too. So we make decisions, don't we, all the time about things. We decide what matters, what is worthwhile. We throw out those things that don't matter because we don't think they're going to change anything. We're happy to ignore things because we don't believe they'll do that much. I mean, I know I use this example a lot, but I always think about climate change at this point. See, I struggle to think that my recycling is really going to make that big of a difference. Surely I can do the tins and the bottles, they're nice and simple. But trekking to Tesco to recycle my thin plastics, ordering return bags for my coffee pods, and washing up those pots with dried up food on them, I mean, is it really worth it? Or you could say politics. I mean, we have a new Prime Minister tomorrow, don't we? Is that really going to change anything? I don't really think so. Is belonging to God the same as that? Does belonging to God really change anything? Will my prayers really be heard and answered? See, if I believe that, well, I'll do it. If I don't believe that, I won't. Will God use my feeble efforts at evangelising my friends? If I believe he will, I'll do it. If I don't, I won't. What we do with our weeks, what we make our priorities. Shall I go to growth group? Should I really make it a priority to be here week on week? Does it change anything? I'll do something about it if it does. See, brothers and sisters, this evening, as September rolls in, just let me channel Malachi for us. And let me tell you, it changes everything. It has changed things. It still changes things. And ultimately, on that final day, it will change everything. If you're feeling disappointed today, if you're feeling like Israel of Malachi's day, change your mind. Let's encourage each other that God's love does make all the difference. And as we do that, let's get our priorities straight, shall we, as we start this new year. Thank you so much for listening. Any feedback or questions can be sent to podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll catch you again next time.